Speaking Effective English, your guide to acquiring new confidence in personal and professional communication. By Betty Pierce-Zoller, John Arthur Watkins, and Hugh Lampman. Read by the authors, with a foreword by Edward Asner.
We appreciate Edward Asner's thoughts on the state of the language in his foreword to Speaking Effective English.
I'm Edward Asner. As the saying goes, words is my business. I learned to love language at an early age as I grew up in Kansas City, Kansas, and more so when I started my acting career in Chicago. As a youngster, I was very much aware that a command of the spoken word was invaluable to achieving professional as well as personal success. One's voice is out there every day, making a positive, or a not-so-positive, impression on everyone with whom we come in contact. Yet so many people take their voice and the way they speak for granted. It's what they were born with, and they become so used to their voices that quite often they make no conscious attempt to improve the way they sound. A more pleasing resonance, cleaner articulation, and the choice of a more colorful and interesting vocabulary would certainly help. Most of our speech habits are ingrained by about the age of 7. Our speech is derived from listening to those close to us during those formative years, parents, other relatives, and close friends. Thus, the way we say things is a direct product of our early childhood listening environment. If at all, changes and speech improvements will come much later in life. Unfortunately, in today's educational system, public and private, there's a slow but constant dumbing down. Put simply, in order to give passing grades to move students toward advancement or graduation, there's less and less emphasis on young people learning how to effectively express themselves in conversation or in the area of public speaking. Unless young people seek out specialized voice and diction training in pursuit of an acting or a broadcasting career, most are dependent upon whatever is offered by their high school or college teachers, many of whom have not mastered these speech skills themselves. This program is most encouraging. It provides solid guidance and instruction in improving the use and sound of that most beautiful of instruments, the human voice, and also helps to sustain the quality of spoken standard American English. It's a pity that what passes for acceptable grammar and properly spoken English these days is often street talk or vulgar slang. While it is true that American English is a living language and therefore is constantly undergoing change, there's an art to making oneself adhere to proper and correct usage when speaking it. That art is seldom a natural knack, but with conscious effort it can be acquired by observing, studying, and practicing the basics of how the voice works, how thoughts are best conveyed to others, and how listeners are going to best comprehend what we're saying. Both as performers and as teachers, Ms. Zoller, Mr. Watkins, and Mr. Lampman have, over the years, developed a unique insight into how essential proper vocal expression is to those who want to progress in any field of endeavor. So whether you plan to communicate as a salesperson or as a telephone receptionist, hope to become a well-known actor or broadcaster, or just want to handle yourself well while speaking to corporate management, the sounds that come from your mouth will have a direct impact on your advancement. I've worked with some of the best actors in the world, in everything from sitcoms to Shakespeare. Many of these fine actors started out in disparate vocations as waitresses, salespeople, office workers, even as doctors and lawyers. But that acting bug, that urge to perform, was implanted somewhere along the way in their lives.